Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in this morning to Blog Talk Radio for Sunday, December the 27th, 2015. We are Answers for the Paranormal, and this is our Christmas special for 2015. My name's Bill Posey. I'm your host, and hopefully on the line with me is my co-host, Joe Marotti. Joe, tell me you're there.
I am here, Bill. Let me see if I hear myself twice. No? No, that sounds good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Not as loud as before, but you're coming in okay. I can hear you.
Okay. All right. I don't think there's anything I can do from my end to improve my volume. So Okay. All right. Yeah, well, I'm here, Bill, and we're a minute or so in, and so far so good. Do you want to share what's been happening?
Why don't you, Joe? I don't know if I can control myself.
Okay, I will. I really think it's important for people to understand what we've been experiencing the last couple broadcasts, a Christmas morning. And this morning, for those who are familiar with who we are, Answers for the Paranormal, we are a Christian ministry that brings answers to those who are looking for answers to supernatural issues. You know, we don't talk about how to fix cars or anything like that. We speak from the Word of God, and we have been doing this since... Bill, can you hear me?
Yeah, keep going, Joe.
Okay, I just heard something there. So we've been doing this for 5 years. And one of the things that we've made crystal clear in those 5 years is that the devil is a real spiritual being. The devil, Satan, is described in the scriptures clearly, especially in the New Testament. Demons, evil spirits, are also real spiritual entities and are also clearly described in the scriptures, again, especially in the New Testament. Now, what we've been experiencing these last two attempts at broadcasting is our demonic attempts to thwart what we are doing. Now, why would they do that? They're doing that because we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We preach the reality of sin. We preach the reality of the consequences of sin. If you die in your sin, namely hell and the lake of fire, well, the lake of fire is an eternal place of suffering and torment described in the book of Revelation. So they don't want us to preach about sin and repentance and salvation. We preach the cross of Jesus Christ. We preach that there is forgiveness in no other name. There is no other name given among men under heaven, whereby we must be saved. It is only Jesus Christ, life, death, and resurrection, that gives the hope of forgiveness of sin. So we've been doing this, Bill, since August of 2010. And we've experienced interference before during multiple broadcasts. So I think it's important for people to understand that, you know, we are speaking truthfully when we say, we're not guessing. We know that there are demonic entities that don't want us to preach, especially these last two mornings when we wanted to preach the message of salvation as it is linked to the Christmas story, the biblical Christmas story, not what it has become. So we've been experiencing some incredible shutdowns the last couple mornings. You know, sometimes I wonder if people hear us when we talk about the reality of spiritual beings wanting to interfere with us. So I think that's important. Another thing that I experienced this morning, as Bill and I were texting back and forth, describing what was going on within the troubles in the broadcast, my auto-rotate decided to not work on my phone. And probably most of our listeners would be familiar with, within a cell phone, you're able to rotate it to the side so that the keyboard becomes larger. I do that all the time because my fingers are too big to get, when the phone is being held vertically, to actually type out a message. It's just too difficult. So I have auto-rotate on my phone, and not mysteriously, I understand why, it did not work. So it did not want me to text. So we've come to the point now where it looks like we're going to be able to do this, Bill. Am I right?
So far, we're about 10 minutes in, and all looks good, Joe. So
okay.
All we can do is pray.
Yes, and we are doing that. We did that beforehand, and we have some good information to bring to those who are listening this morning. And you had mentioned, Bill, that one Christmas morning we had about 130 live listens, and that's wonderful. And we get a lot of archive listens. Well, the bottom line is, Bill, whether people are listening live or they go and they listen to the archive broadcast. The bottom line is that we're being heard. And if you take a look out at the current landscape of contemporary Christianity, to say that it has been watered down is a gross gross understatement. We have a lot of preachers out there and teachers who have strayed further and further away from the Bible and the teaching of the Bible, that it's barely recognizable, if at all. So our intent from the very beginning, any other areas of distraction, we're not above that. We have to stay, as the scriptures tell us, to stay strong in the power and might of the Lord, and to be to think clearly, to be sober-minded and watchful and alert, because the devil is looking to destroy us as preachers of the gospel. He wants to silence any voice for good, that those voices that are preaching sin and repentance and salvation, preaching the reality of hell. There is no such thing as universal salvation, because that's an anti-biblical teaching. That is a false teaching. So here we are, Bill, and prayerfully we will get through this broadcast.
Yeah, amen. And Joe, I think you did a great job there of explaining what went on the last Christmas morning and again this morning. And you know, as we had prepared to bring this Christmas special together, we wanted to look back over the last 5 years and some of the, you know, great things that we've done and the Lord has allowed us to do on these Christmas mornings, and you know, just sharing some of our memories about Christmas and some of our observations about what is going on in our culture today involving Christmas, and just so many things that changed from the time that you and I were kids, Joe,
right.
You know, and how Christmas was celebrated, how it was talked about, you know, how the shows on TV were broadcast on main channels. And, you know, now you look at contemporary celebration of Christmas, and the word Christmas has been removed. You have it called a holiday season. You have attempts by government and special interest groups to wipe out, you know, manger scenes or live Christmas scenes, whatever it might be, to where, you know, we want to get to the point where Christ is totally wiped out of the celebration of what the day is about. And, you know,
right.
You said this morning to me that you had made a couple observations in the last couple days from the first time that we attempted the broadcast. Why don't you talk about those, Joe, and then we're going to get into our what we wanted to broadcast concerning this day.
Let me say this, Bill. Let me save that for the end of the broadcast.
Okay.
Let me save that observation for the end of the broadcast, because I think it ties in more. It's more conducive to how I'm going to end what I want to say.
All right,
that
sounds good. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
All right. I'm gonna play some Christmas music. This is a Christmas carol that is heard quite often at Christmas time. O Come All Ye Faithful.
Joyful and triumphant, O come.
Passages of scripture that talk about the incarnation, and you know there are so many that you can find, and all of them are wonderful in explaining why Jesus Christ was born into this world, how he took on flesh. But one in particular, as I was preparing. For our congregational meeting and talking about, you know, what has happened at the cross, I came across this passage of scripture, and then I thought that this would be, you know, a great one for our broadcast this morning. And it comes from Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. But I want to begin at verse 29 in chapter 3 and then go through Galatians 4 up to verse 7. And this is the word of God. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What I am saying is that as long as an heir is underage, he's no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. The heir is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also, when we were underage, we were in slavery under the elemental spiritual forces of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. And may God add blessing to the reading of his word. And, you know, as I was breaking this passage down, Joe, the Apostle Paul is using some illustration here of, you know, a natural heir's estate. And the heirs to a father's estate, you know, in relation to being heirs of salvation through Jesus Christ, you know, an heir who is a minor is not yet in possession of his father's estate. He's no mm-hmm. different positionally than a slave in his house because right. he's under these tutors and guardians until the time that is appointed by his father to possess his inheritance. Mm-hmm. This time is fixed beforehand by the father for the coming of age of his son. And he's also alluding back to Galatians 3:24 in respect to the law of Moses. The law is a schoolmaster and a tutor, which manages. And it is because of this law that we are in subjection to the law. Whether we are Jew or Greek, all are under the law. And, you know, then he goes on to talk about a slave. Now, a slave is in bondage to his master. Now, we're also a slave to the elemental spiritual forces of this world. Until we come to Christ, we are a slave to this world system. And this system, which is ruled by the enemy of our souls, Satan, includes this dead ritualism of the law that the Jews were under, and also this spiritual forces that Gentiles are under in idol worship of false gods. And this is what was happening at the time that Paul wrote this letter. And now as he talks about the fullness of time, this is what we're celebrating. This is Christmas, the fullness of time that was set forth by God the Father to send his son into the world. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. So God the Father set forth this time for his son to come into the world. Now, you know, as I was looking through, there are some translations and some commentaries people talk about, well, what is this time that has fully come? Some say that, you know, it's the time, that time the people were ready for a Messiah to come. I don't know if that is how I interpret this. I don't think it's, you know, they were ripe for Christ's coming because obviously he was rejected by his own people. So right. I don't think it means that. I think it means, as Paul is alluding to, this natural father-son relationship to where he takes possession of his father's estate. I believe that that's what Paul is talking about here. This is the time that is set forth. John, in his gospel, tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the pre-existent Son of the living God. And in John 3:16, he tells us that, you know, Jesus is the only begotten of the Father. This is Jesus Christ in eternity. And at this time that he sets as the time for him to be born into the world, this is what we celebrate. This is Christmas. This is the incarnation. And just to bring that point further, he says that he's born of the woman and born under the law. This born of a woman literally means that it is the fulfillment of Isaiah 9, that the virgin would conceive and bear a son.
Mm-hmm.
This is the incarnation. And then born under the law, meaning that Jesus was subjected to the law. He was born a Jew. He was born mm-hmm. under their ordinances, so he was circumcised. He was also born under the law for another reason, Joe, and that is so that he would undergo death as one cursed by the law, as Paul talks about in Galatians 3. So mm-hmm. it was necessary for Jesus to be born as a Jew, born under the law, as a condition that is necessary for salvation, because he goes on to say, to redeem those who are under the law. And this
right.
redemption that took place was by Christ dying on the cross, taking on sin of all of mankind and paying the penalty that was due under the law. And then the greatest part of this verse, because it goes on in verse 6, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So by this redemption that was wrought by Christ on the cross, and because of those who are the seed of Abraham by faith, we are now sons of God, and he gives us his Holy Spirit, who resides in us, who lives in us, who guides us into all truth, the Spirit that calls out, Abba, Father, no longer the father of an estate positionally, but Abba, Daddy, Father, the closeness that we have with God the Father through Jesus Christ. We are his sons and an heir of salvation. So this is what the celebration of Christmas is all about. The incarnation of the Son of God, born so that the fulfillment of the requirements of the law by dying on the cross were met. And Joe, without Christmas, we don't have a resurrection day. We don't have the fulfillment of God's promise, that first promise that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And this is what he did at the cross. Jesus did all that was necessary for redemption. Adoption into the kingdom is contingent upon faith. Faith in the Son of God and faith in what he did for us. And so the Christmas message, as you were saying earlier, Joe, has totally gotten lost today. This is why we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christmas because Jesus had to take on flesh to come into the world to die the death that you and I deserve to die.
Amen, Bill. Well said, brother. Let me comment on a couple of thoughts that came to my mind as you were relating that scripture from Galatians. I'm going to kind of go backwards, and I'll try to keep this short. When you mention, and it's so critical to understand that Jesus was born under the law and subject to the law, well, he had to be in order to fulfill the law.
Right.
If he was not born under the law, he would not have been able to fulfill the law. As Matthew, we read his words, Jesus' own words in Matthew 5, verse 17, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And to fulfill them means he observed the law perfectly. He did not fall at any point of the law. He did not come
Amen.
Short of any of God's laws. He was born under the law so that he might fulfill the law, and he was the only one who ever did fulfill the law, whoever could have fulfilled the law. All other human beings who ever been born of a woman have fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Another thing that struck me, Bill, as you were speaking about the issue of slavery, there is no middle ground. I know people like to try to walk the middle ground with regards to slavery. You are either a slave to sin and evil spirits. You're a slave to the devil, or you're a slave to God. And I'm going to address that a little bit further towards the end of what I would like to speak about this morning. And you're right, Bill. the gospel is never presented, the Jesus of the Bible is never really presented, and I don't expect him to be, or the gospel to be, by the world itself, by television, by radio. You will have it mentioned merely as an inclusion that Jesus was born on this day. It's a blip. His birth is a blip on the Christmas radar screen. Now, my fear is that that is becoming the case as well for what we know as churches today, that you have presented to the world an inclusionary Jesus, where we are being pushed towards an ecumenical church rather than the ecclesia, the called out ones that Jesus said that he would build and that he has authority over, and him alone. So those are the two things that really struck me, Bill, as you were reading from that that passage from Galatians. And dare I say, Bill, that we could end the program right now, and I would be satisfied with what was said. But I think we have a part two. So should we get into that, or did you have something? Did you have something else that that you wanted to include in the program here this morning before I get to my portion?
Yeah, I'm gonna play a couple more Christmas songs, and the first one, "Away in a Manger," and then "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus," and then Joe's gonna share his message this morning from the Word of God. So this is "Away in a Manger."
"Away in a Manger," performed for LibriVox.org by Karen Savage.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the bright sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awaits, but little Lord Jesus no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the
You're listening to Joe and Bill of Answers for the Paranormal. This is our Christmas special for the year 2015. This is our fifth anniversary special on Christmas morning. And that was Away in a Manger and Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. And now Joe's going to share a message of hope with us this morning. Joe?
Thanks, Bill. Last Saturday, Bill, that was the 19th of December, I was getting ready to go out to start my Christmas shopping. Yes, that's right. I said start my Christmas shopping. what was that? 6 days before Christmas. It's par for the course for me. And I'm a procrastinator. What can I say? So I have on KYW News Radio, our local 24-hour news station, and I'm listening, and I hear them mention that the Saturday prior to Christmas is the busiest sales day of the year, because shopping online at that point is just too risky. You know, if you order something merely days before Christmas, you can't be sure whether your gift is going to get to your house in time for Christmas. So that's what makes the Saturday prior to Christmas the busiest shopping day, sales day of the year. And obviously that on a Saturday, most people have off. So the combination of the two, a very, very busy, indeed the busiest sales day of the year. Now, historically speaking, Bill, Black Friday was the busiest shopping day of the year.
Oh yeah.
But now, you know, Black Friday, as you know, very quickly, it historically was the day that we came to know as Black Friday, where businesses went from being in the red, which means they were behind in paying bills, they weren't making money, to being in the black, where you're showing a profit. Not showing a profit in the red, showing a profit in the black. So the sales that would occur on the day after Thanksgiving, known as Black Friday, was the day where businesses looked really forward to, where shoppers would get out to the stores. And, you know, before online shopping, Bill, and I guess it still happens now, you had tremendous sales that day. People would literally sleep overnight in parking lots of Best Buy and Walmart and Target and stores like Sears, wherever, to get to those sales to be in that early morning Black Friday rush. But now, Bill, I'll tell you what. Pitches for Christmas begin literally at the end of August.
Yeah.
And in the beginning of September. I know for sure, because I'm a contractor who's constantly in and out of Home Depot and Lowe's. I start seeing Christmas stuff slowly making its way out onto the floor at the end of August and in the beginning of September, and certainly full blown by the beginning of October. So I was out that Saturday, Bill, that Saturday before Christmas, December the 19th, and I'll tell you what, I can confirm that KYW report that it was the busiest sales day of the year. What struck me about that day, Bill, was the sheer volume of people that were out that day. No matter where you drove, no matter where I drove, I encountered incredible volumes of cars and traffic on the road. The noise and the confusion, it was just very noisy that day. And the confusion with pulling in and out of parking lots. You could just see the confusion on people's faces as they were trying to get from store to store, and they had that sense of urgency that only a few days away from Christmas, they needed to get all that shopping done. And what really struck me, Bill, was the probably this year more so than any other past Christmas. What struck me was the utter absence of joy and peace that should mark this time of year. The joy that Jesus came to bring and the peace that Jesus came to bring to those who would come to him in faith for the forgiveness of sin, that was definitely missing in the people that I encountered that day. Very abrupt, a sense of anger to them. It was just very palpable, very, very easy to see. And I'll tell you what else I noticed about this Christmas, Bill. And, you know, you asked me what was the difference, and I said I was going to wait till the end. That part I will wait till the end, but let me share this. I have noticed this Christmas, let me ask you, what have you noticed, Bill, as far as a Christmas season? What have you noticed?
Wow, that's a tough one because there, you know, it, depending on what cable channel you're on, it seems like whenever I'm on a sports channel, you have all of the Budweiser, Clydesdales, Christmas, you know. Here they come in, through the snowflakes.
Right.
But I would say probably in any of the others, for cars, most of
bingo.
The commercials had. Go ahead. Sorry.
I said bingo. Ding, ding, ding. That's it.
Yeah.
I have never, ever seen a more heated pitch for a car being purchased for a Christmas present. Now,
right.
Think how unreasonable that is for most people.
Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, who are they advertising to? Now, I'm sure with the interest rates being so low, Bill, that's probably playing into it, that more people would be approved for credit to purchase a brand new car, but then that puts them into debt.
Yeah,
but this Christmas, I've never, Bill, and I'm not talking about Chevys or Fords. I'm talking about Mercedes and Acuras and BMWs. I've never seen a greater push to have people go out and buy a car for Christmas. But to me, it's just so absurd and a sign of the times where we are so materialistic in the way we live our lives that these advertisers know it's easy to suck people in. The interest rates being low, come on in, we'll get your car for Christmas. Never mind about the 25 or 30 grand in debt you're going to incur.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that really struck me, that is really changing about to the masses. But let me ask you another question, Bill. What are the two words that you think are most frequently found on Christmas cards? Imagine you open up a Christmas card. You tell me what you think the two most prevalent words will be.
Well, having gone into the store to buy Christmas cards, I noticed that the word Christmas is very rarely found on them. Mostly it's Happy Holidays.
true.
And what would be the others? Oh, probably joy and peace.
Bingo. You got it again, Bill. You got it again.
Well, I got a good batting average today, Joe.
You do. You're 3 for 3. And you know, those who have listened to us for any length of time, they know that we don't play around. We don't set this stuff up. We don't do stuff like that. That's so Bush League and and it would be totally unchristian-like to be deceptive in that way. So Bill got those for sure on his own. But I tell you what, Bill, you're right. Two words that you probably find most, and probably a lot often together, joy and peace, they're missing in people at this time of year.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what. You look at the days following Christmas, and I was going to Google this and print something out, but I ran out of time. Post-Christmas depression is a very real thing, Bill.
Oh, yeah.
The build-up to Christmas, and then you have Christmas Day, and then the last gift is open, and the last meal, the last morsel of your Christmas meal is eaten. And then you have December 26th, and on and on and on. And I'll tell you, the Saturday, the day after Christmas, yesterday, I put on our oldies station, music station, which had been playing music since I think they started sometime in November. But I put them on yesterday, and they were highlighting the top songs from 1963. So, you know, a button is pushed and Christmas is turned off. Me and my wife were in stores yesterday. All of the Christmas decorations are down. All of the Christmas stuff that's left over are bunched up into tables, 50% off. You know what I mean? So this Christmas depression hits people. They're expecting something to last. And all of a sudden, it's just gone. And if there was any joy or any peace that people experienced, it's the rug is yanked out from underneath them. And they're left with what? What are they left with? Now, the question is, why are people anxious and fearful and short-tempered this time of year? I'll tell you why, Bill, because they've been conditioned. They want everything to be perfect. And there have been times, and there are times, when my family falls into these traps as well. Think about the decorations that you put up. And depending on when you want to start them, beginning of December, sometime in November, sometime a week or two before Christmas, you want the decorations to look nice. You get them inside the house. You got them outside the house. You got lights that are glowing, all sorts of Christmas knickknacks. You have your tree that you pick out, right, Bill?
Yep.
You want that tree to be nice and full. You want it to be the right height. You don't want it to be too tall. You don't want it to be too short. You don't want it to have a bald spot. So you're turning it left and right. What's the best profile for this tree? You're planning for and you're cooking the food. You know, my wife does most of that. I try to help as much as I possibly can, but there's a lot of care and time taken into what Christmas meal you're actually going to cook, and then going out and getting all that food, and getting all those things set up, and then actually cooking the food. If you have guests, you want to make sure that they're comfortable and that they're having a good time. The gifts. You don't want to spend too little on gifts for your friends and family. You don't want to spend too much on those gifts. You want to make sure that they're gifts that the people actually want. The right size, the right color. And then there's the credit card bills that are going to follow with all this, Bill, right? If you're not paying with cash.
Yep.
These are just some of the things, Bill. These are just some of the things that cause the anxiety, the fear, and the anger and frustration in people. Leading up to and right through Christmas, and then it gets worse after Christmas with the post-Christmas depression. And, you know, all of that is sort of a microcosm, was caught in a microcosm as I was remembering a Thanksgiving day, and I may have shared this on a previous broadcast, but I'll share it again because it bears repeating. Many years ago, Bill, I was watching the Thanksgiving Day parade. I think it was in California. There were extravagant, there were things that you would expect in a large city Thanksgiving Day parade. You had extravagant floats. You had costumes. You had music booming from those floats. You had the big hot air-filled characters that are sometimes 2, 3, and 4 stories high, being controlled by men with ropes. You had commentators. You have commentators that are describing all of this action as these floats, these individual floats, go by the commentator's booth, and they're describing what's on those floats.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was one float, Bill, and this is even before I was a believer. This is before I came to Christ in faith. There was one float that was presented, constructed and presented by, I would assume it was a local church. It was an unassuming float. I don't remember anything much about the float other than what was written on the front. It had the name of the church, which I don't remember. But what was written boldly, that the commentators of the parade did not even read, but was clear to be read by anyone who was watching the TV. What was written on that banner was Jesus, God's gift to man. And I thought, in all of the pomp, amidst all the pomp and circumstance of that parade, here was the real message. Now, they can't have the whole gospel message in front of a float, but the core essence of Christmas was there. Jesus, God's gift to man. And I was thinking as I was out on that Saturday, last Saturday, Bill, how much like that parade was what I experienced that Saturday. You had all of the people in the hustle and bustle of the season going to and fro with all the anxieties they're carrying around with them and the getting from one point to the other and trying to get in a parking spot and in and out of the stores carrying packages. And the simple yet profound message of Christmas, if I know Scripture well, is lost on most of them because they're celebrating something other than the birth of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now I want to read from Scripture, Bill. I want to read from John chapter 4, verses 7 through 14. John chapter 4, verses 7 through 14. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Now his disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For the Jews did not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life."
Mm.
Now, Jesus in this passage is speaking with this Samaritan woman, and the Jews had no dealings with them because the Samaritans were half Jewish and half Gentile. So Jesus engages this woman in a conversation. She's there to draw physical water, Bill. She's there to get the water that gives that is necessary to sustain physical life.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is there to offer this woman the gift of God, as Jesus says in verse 10. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Jesus is talking about the gift of God, the living water that Jesus offers that is necessary for eternal life. As in verse 10, Jesus says, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. He'll never thirst because he's come to the author of life. The life that Jesus gives, eternal, once received, you don't have to go on any more spiritual journeys. You have come to the creator of the universe. You have come to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. He gives you living water, which wells up in a man up to eternal life. So this is the gift is offered not just on Christmas morning, not on any specific days of the year, but this is a gift that is offered to all mankind every day of the year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Amen.
The parade and the Christmas season, so much alike with all the bells and the whistles and the attention of the masses of people on all of those noise and bells and whistles, and
right,
disregarding the true significance of what we call Christmas. Now, Bill, you remember a movie called The Village?
Yeah, sure do.
It was written and produced by M. Night Shyamalan.
Yep.
It was about a group of people. Oh, I don't know, 50, 75 people that removed themselves from society. They wanted to restore a semblance of civility by starting over. They had been victims of crime. All of their families had been victims of some sort of violent crime, and so they decided to find within this game preserve a way to start over. But the problem was, Bill, and the Amish have historically done this as well, in the end, they realize they are no different. They are only smaller because sin rears its ugly head within that group of people as well. They can't escape the noise. They can't escape the violence. They can't escape the anger and the fear and the anxiety and the jealousy. They can't escape the depravity of man. Why? Because it's a result of his sin nature. Now, Jesus offered the water to the Samaritan woman. He said the water he gives becomes a spring of water which wells up to eternal life. Let me read now from Romans 6, 20 through 23. Romans 6, 20 through 23. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness that you are now ashamed of. Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says in verse 20, Bill, when you were slaves to sin. Now, you were mentioned slaves earlier, right?
Yeah.
In the passage from Galatians. We were slaves to sin. We were not under the control of righteousness, Bill. We were under the control of sin. We were under the control of the flesh. We were under the law and the penalty of the law. And the question in verse 21 is, what benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Yeah, you gained some, you enjoyed some pleasure from those sins that you engaged in. You might have gotten ahead financially by cheating. You might have gained some pleasure by engaging in various sexual excursions. You might have from engaging in indulging in alcohol or drug abuse. And you might have escaped detection of falsehoods by lying. But those things result in death, the scripture says here. Whatever pleasure you gained prior to coming to Christ, those things are things you're now ashamed of, and you can look back and say, you didn't gain anything from them. All you gained, and all anyone listening to this broadcast now, if you are without Jesus Christ, you are a slave to sin. Those things you're indulging in now that bring temporary pleasure are going to result in physical death and spiritual death. In verse 22, Paul goes on to say to the believer, but now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. Prior, you were slaves to sin. It led to depravity, and that leads to spiritual death. But now, being a slave to God, it leads to holiness, because you have the Holy Spirit living in you that enables you to live a godly life. Free from sin completely? No. That's not what I'm saying. But it enables you to say no to sin, whereas prior to, you were a slave to sin. But now a slave to God, you can say no to sin and live a holy life, a life that is separate. You're set apart by God for his use, a holy life. And the result of that, not living a perfect life, result of being a slave to God through faith in Jesus Christ is eternal life. Because the wages of sin, what you earn as a result of sin, is death. You earn spiritual death. You deserve it. I deserved it. Bill deserved it. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Bill and I are no longer under the law. Because we've come to faith in Jesus Christ, we've trusted that his finished work on the cross has washed away our sins, and God has placed our sins as far as the east is from the west, no longer recalling them against us. And we mentioned earlier, Bill, that Jesus came was born under the law. And he fulfilled the law. He was born under the law because he had to fulfill the law. And now, having fulfilled the law, not disobeying the law, even at its most minor point, perfectly fulfilling, obeying the law up until his death, even to death on a cross, his righteousness is given to us so that effectually we have fulfilled the law because we have the righteousness of Christ. Now think about that.
Amen.
That's the great love of God. That's the gift that is so tragically missing, I dare I say, from places that call themselves churches, who are given themselves over to worldly pursuits. They've conformed to the patterns of the world and have diminished the gospel message. Bill, you can't separate sin from Christmas, because that's why Jesus came. He came to die for the sins of mankind.
Mm-hmm.
He came to offer himself as the atoning sacrifice once and for all. And he had to be born flesh to fulfill the law. And you notice, Bill, how the devil started working right away. What did the Nazis say? They said that he didn't come in the flesh, but as a spirit. Now, you see how deceptive and scheming the devil is? But
yep.
John meets that. He says, if anyone says that Jesus has not come in the flesh, he is Antichrist.
That's right.
So this is the gift. This is what was written on the front of that little float. Jesus, God's gift to man. Now, you're going to hear this is the birth of Jesus, and they do their obligatory minute or so on him being born in Bethlehem. But they never say why he was born. Rather, you have the falsehood of saying he came to bring peace on earth. No, he didn't. He came to bring a sword, he said.
Mm-hmm.
And again, Bill, we don't have to.
No.
If at any point in January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, in any one of those days, in any one of those months, you're breathing air in this life, this message is as relevant then as it is this morning. You know, Bill, for the man in Christ, or the woman in Christ, there really should be no emptiness. There should be no post-Christmas blues.
Mm.
Because we have the hope that Jesus came to bring to us, promises. Especially, I think, in John 14, where he said, I'm going to prepare a place. And if I go, I will come again to take you with me, so that where I am, you may also be. This is why the believer in Jesus Christ should not be experiencing any post-depression, post-Christmas blues. The only sadness that I experience is when I see it in other people. And I think to myself, Lord, speak to this person. Show them the true meaning of Christmas and how there is eternal life that is offered of their own. But the work has been done for them. All they have to do is receive the gift. And this is our this is our blessed hope, Bill. Don't let the world shut down Christmas on you.
Amen.
You turn on your local music station and they're playing the same old tripe from the historical collection of music. Don't let that defeat you. There is hope in Christ. If you come in simple, childlike faith, trusting what the Bible says about sin, its eternal consequences, but that we don't have to experience that. We don't have to experience hell. We don't have to experience the lake of fire. The Lord Jesus does not want us to experience. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. So I would plead with people this morning, or whenever you're listening to this broadcast, don't let them shut down Christmas on you, because the gift of life is eternal, is offered to you whenever you're listening to it. And just as Jesus offered the living water to that Samaritan woman, you too may have this living water, so that you'll never thirst, that you'll never need to go on a spiritual journey. So that's one of the most prevalent things of who are on spiritual journeys. And they've investigated this faith and that faith and this New Age movement and that New Age movement and this philosophy and that philosophy. They're always searching and seeking and looking. But Jesus says, when you come to him and you drink this living water, you'll never thirst for that stuff again. Because all of those other things lead to death. There is only one name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved from our sins. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is really the true message of Christmas that has been lost. But thankfully, the Lord, that we were able to speak truth this morning to those dear people who are listening in, Bill.
Yeah, amen. Hallelujah, Joe. And, you know, as you were getting to the end of that, it just came to my mind. Now I know why we experienced the difficulty we did in attempting to broadcast the past few times. And today's broadcast is one that the enemy surely didn't want to have broadcast it. And the great part is, as you said, Joe, this is archived so that anyone can listen at any time and listen to this message of hope. And I praise God for what you shared this morning, Joe. It's needed to be heard. And in especially in light of our culture today, it's crucial to be heard that your sins can be forgiven. You can pass from eternal death, which we all deserve, but only by the grace of God we can experience eternal life and life to the fullest. That's what Jesus said. He came to give us life and life to the fullest. And Joe, I just want to say thanks. And we can't look too far ahead. We need to live for today. And today is a day that the Lord has given to us as a day to be ambassadors for him, to stand in the gap and to tell the truth. And thank you, brother, for doing that this morning.
Thank you as well, too, Bill.
Amen. All right, I'm going to play, Joe, what's called the Christmas story. This is a dramatic reading of Matthew's and Luke's gospel concerning the birth of Christ. And then after that, we'll come back and say our goodbyes. And that'll be it for our broadcast today.
Okay, brother.
Sharing God's word is a passion of Bible Is, a ministry of faith comes by hearing. To help you and yours celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ this holiday season, we present the Christmas story as a reminder of God's gift to us.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying,
Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.
All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet.
Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,
which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus.
In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them,
Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying,
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.
When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another,
Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.
And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord,
Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord,
and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord,
a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons.
Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said,
Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.
And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother,
Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed.
And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem.
Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying,
Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?
For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him.
When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him,
In Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.
Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying,
Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him.
After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said,
"Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him."
And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet,
"Out of Egypt I called my son."
Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah,
"A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted, because they are no more."
But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying,
"Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead."
And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled,
"He shall be called a Nazarene."
And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom. And the favor of God was upon him.
Thank you for listening to The Christmas Story, brought to you by Bible Is, a ministry of faith comes by hearing. If you'd like to...
Well, we want to thank everyone for tuning in this morning and listening to our 2015 Christmas special. This is Bill and Joe of Answers for the Paranormal. And Joe, we want to wish everyone a blessed Christmas season and a happy and healthy 2016. And Joe, look forward to what the Lord has for us next year.
Yeah, and I would also like to extend those same wishes for a wonderful rest of whatever's left in this Christmas season. To take to heart what they heard today, this morning, whenever you listen to it, and for a wonderful 2016. Yeah, Bill, we what I would like to share with our listeners is that we really want to get on the ball this year and produce many more programs than we did in the past year. It's very difficult to do with time and energy and work and family obligations. This is where the Lord has called us, and we just want to let you know that we are really going to do our best to stay on top of the current news stories, world events, and also what is going on in the paranormal world, which we've kind of backed off from for the last year or two, so we kind of want to strike a balance between what is happening in the world and also what is happening in the spiritual world, because the devil is working in both of those regiments to deceive the world. He's got a lot of schemes and a lot of deceptions, and he has his demonic forces that carry out those marching orders. So Bill and I, being two people really with no staff, we do the best that we can, and stay tuned to our, visit our website as often as possible, www.answersfortheparanormal.org, and check for upcoming broadcasts. We don't know what we're going to be doing next, but we would like to get something produced or some at some point in January, by mid-January. So thank you for listening today, and thank you, Bill, for hosting today. And God's blessings and goodness to all.
Yeah, amen, Joe. And thanks again for your persistence this morning and not giving up. I was ready to throw the towel in again, brother, but you kept me going, and we praise the Lord that we were able to get this produced and on the air. So thanks again.
Amen. Amen, Bill. Thank you, brother. Amen.
All right, that'll do us for our Christmas special 2015. And thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in 2016. Good night, Joe. Or good day,
goodbye,
Joe.
Brother. Yeah, good day.
Oh, the happy Christmas is a homecoming Christmas, with the snow fluttering down till the world seems new. Bright candles burning, old friends returning, the wishes of children coming true. And the happiest wishes are just old-fashioned wishes. May your days be merry, your sorrows be small. May the ones you love be near you. The happiest Christmas of all. Bright candles burning, old friends returning, the wishes of children coming true. And the happiest wishes are just old-fashioned wishes. May your days be merry, may your sorrows be small. May the ones you love be near you. That's the happiest Christmas of all.